Buenas noches. I know you will say that. Is any Latino up tonight in here, in the house? You want to stand up for me, please? Thank you. I will tell my story in Spanish then. I don't know if it's a comedian show would always tell a real story and tell it, but mine is beginning 1980s, when I was 8 years old. And in El Salvador, was a civil war was on. And 1981, I lost 3 ankles, on my father's side and 1 from my mother's side. They were brutal killers from guerrillas and army. In 84 and 83, my father was what they call a lista negra, and the guerrilla side is the blacklist, which is have a name of the people who were executed if they don't leave the town at a certain time. And my father was on the list, including my older brother. So my father decided to move from my original town to the capital city, San Salvador. That was back then, 84. In 85, my brother, which he was on the blacklist, he became an army member on the Air Force in El Salvador. So my father was thinking go back to my original town because it was so hard to live in the city. I remember I was 11 years old and my father rent a small room in a place we call El Mesón. I think someone knows El Mesón is. I know he said yes. Then my brother would lay down, we had to sleep on the floor. When he was laid on the floor and touched the wall, he only was 5 feet and 6 inches, something like that. And he slept across and touched the wall, side to side. The morning time, we had to get up earlier, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to get some water. We had to walk about a quarter mile, half a mile to get some water and take a shower and get some water to drink. And then we got to go work, and I was 11 years old. And after war, I got to go to school. That was in 1885. 87, that's when a nightmare began for our family. So my father had to move from that small neighborhood to another neighborhood because my brother, it was a death threat by the guerrillas. If we wouldn't have to move, they would kill any of my family members. So we moved to another town. In 87, so he finished 2 years service in the army, he decided to move to the United States, to America, which is a big dream. And he was the first old brother who came to United States. In 89, was probably you see it in the news, La Ofensiva. What would they call La Ofensiva? Earthquake what happened on 89. In 90s, what the La Guerrilla wanted to cover the whole country. And that's what they call La Ofensiva. So in different, I would say mostly the half a side of El Salvador was attacked by the guerrillas. They wanted to cover. And my father decide to send another brother to America and tell him you had to leave because basically if you are under 18 and you were not really pressured to be part of guerrillas or the army, you had two choices, be one side or be on the other side. And we don't want to be on either side, either my father. And he has a shoe repair shop, which I help him. And after I help in the morning time, I got to go to school. In the same year, 90, recruiting people from the army side is not like in here, United States. You go and apply for fill application, and they probably call you. In El Salvador, back in those days, they don't do that. Even these days, they're still not doing it. What they do, they just take in a truck, a convoy truck, go around the neighborhood. If you're walking or hang around with your friend on a corner or anywhere, they just put the gun on your head and get on the truck and go. The next day, you know you're in the army. And that's what happened. So it happened to me one day, and the next day that I had to, I spent the night on the base. It was an Air Force base. And a friend of my family, he's still a member of the army. He knows as well that my brother belonged to the army. And a few years before, he told the, I think it was a general, lieutenant, whoever it was, that one of my brother served in the army a few years before. So basically, one member of the family feel ready to be in the army, so it's optional if the second member of the family wants to be part of it. If it's not, you don't have to. Well, I was like 16 years old, 17 years old. The next day I knew, my father told me, come on, you had to leave the country. I was 17, so I don't even know what to do. I don't even make my own decision. My dad did. So I had to leave. That was 1990, April. I remember I had to leave. My brother, who was my first brother, and my third brother, were living in Washington. And they, as you know, the name of Coyote guys, they who help you to travel through Mexico and United States. Back in those days, we had to pay like $3,000 to get one person from El Salvador. I'm not talking about whoever came from other part of Latin America. I'm representing them, as many of them. We come through the border. In April, I decided to come. My father took me to one of the bus terminals where I was supposed to meet the coyote. I was 17 years old. I didn't know. I mean, I saw my mom crying. I didn't ask why, because I knew why. And my father wants to be, he showed me he was a strong man. He doesn't show me he didn't cry, but I know he did. It was in April. I remember when I came through Guatemala, then Mexico, it was 1 month already been gone. And not even was a half a way to the United States. The next thing I know was like close to the Tijuana border. It was 2 months already gone. Already that time I would lost 10, 15 pounds. We don't have nothing to eat for 2, 3 days. Sometimes we eat a crack with the little tuna on top. That was the meal for the day. And when finally I get in touch with my brother here, they were telling me that my father and my mom was praying for me because they thought of what was that. Well, I was lucky to hear that because I was still alive. And 2 months later, so the federal, what they call in Mexico, is a part of I would say the army, but like kind of police, los federales. They caught us, the whole group, almost 100 people. They bring us to the jail. I spent 7 days in jail in Mexico. We're criminal, of course. They weren't immigrant. They were criminal. And they treat us good because they share the food. So we got a lot of food for 1 week. And waiting to be deported back to El Salvador after 2 months. Did I hear the bell? Oh, thank you. Please tell me if I can go, I don't know. And then, I remember that after 7 days spending on a jail, I was talking to one of the inmates, he was recent when he was on the jail. He told me his story. He was only 9 years old. And he was sentenced to 11 or 20 years. And he was only 2 years in jail already, so it was a long way to go. And after 7 days, they moved on to another jail, waiting for 24, 48 hours. Basically, we don't have any clothes, only one short pants and sandal, because we've been lost everything on the road. And finally, the last day came, we got deported to Guatemala. So back in Guatemala, we don't know what to do. So going back to El Salvador or try it again. So trying to make that decision, my parents told me, finally my brother keep in touch with my parents. And they said that I had to keep going, moving, because there's no way to come back to El Salvador. Well, I decided to move forward. Another month. So I left on April and I get here in the United States on July. I'm 15, for more specific, 1990, July 15. I came in through LA. I stayed 2 weeks down there. And then after 2 weeks, I took an airplane to Washington. Back in those days, it was a Pan American airline, if anybody remember that airline. It's not a commercial, but I get paid for it. I don't get it if it's a comedian show or really a story. Because I was laughing when they tell. And when I get to Washington, I remember that I was work on a Chinese restaurant as a busboy. I don't speak English at all. I just was serving water and say hello, like you guys say hola. Well, at least you say buenas noches. I didn't know that time. But back in on Mexico, through Mexico, and I make my mind, and I had a dream. If I go back to El Salvador again, I will be as a resident of a USA citizen. I had to wait for my residentship 10 years. In 2000, finally, I become a resident. In 2007, I become a USA citizen. Be proud of it to be Salvadorian and Latin American, and also USA citizen, father of 3 kids. And I'm promoting also Salvadorian culture. We had a group of, we dance on Salvadorian group. We don't know when we're going to be here again, but pretty soon, I hope so, Jessica. Keep that in mind. And now I'm on, just become a owner in a dump truck on my own business. And like I said, proud of me to be Salvadorian and American at the same time. I never lost my Salvadorian nationality. I got double nationality, Salvadorian and American. But you probably don't know, you probably do know how we got to go through it, especially Latin America, to become a citizenship. You had to go through a lot of things. And I respect for all my brothers in here for different countries. So we need your help. We need to talk to the people in the Congress. Many of us up there, we need your help. Thank you. May God bless you.